Hello, and welcome to another audio blog post from stateofsecurity.com. This blog post is brought to you by Microsoft Inc. and our penetration testing team, particularly our application testing. So if you have a web-based application, a piece of hardware, or a new mobile application, or a new development for a line of business that you would like tested holistically, give our team a call. You can find out more at microsolve.com. We are threat-centric security personified. I'm Brent Houston. I'm your host on this audio blog post, and I'm being joined today by Phil Grimes. Welcome, Phil.
Thanks for having me, Brent.
Now, Phil, before we get too much into our topic today, how can folks that are interested find out more and interact with you? Can you tell them a little bit about your email and Twitter accounts?
You can email me at pgrimes@microsolve.com, and I am the Grape Ape on Twitter. That's Grape, GRAP3_AP3, and I'm all over the place.
There you go. He's quite popular. Our topic today, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the surface mapping, which is a very, very tightly tied component of our application testing methodology. And basically, tell us a little bit about what surface mapping is.
Surface mapping is basically a technique that not only we as penetration testers use, but that attackers use to uncover various parts of applications that are ripe for an attack or that pose a possible vector for an attack. So, for example, a login page that has your username and password entry fields, those are attack surfaces that an attacker might focus on to brute force the application and maybe gain unauthorized access.
So you basically kind of go through the application manually and in an automated fashion and figure out what's really there.
Exactly. We try to use some tools to automate the process just to speed it up, especially in terms of deeper applications. But after we've used automated tools, then we go through and do everything manually just to make sure that we don't miss anything. And that uncovers typically some hidden surfaces that some tools are not necessarily aware of.
Now, one of the coolest things I think that comes out of our methodology is we do a visual, almost mind map level of that surface map. So an actual graphic map of what those surfaces look like. Can you tell us a little bit about how that gets generated and of what use it is?
Well, we've kind of pioneered a new section, if you will, of cartography almost, because like you said, we do lay out the map graphically. So we'll start using some sort of a graphic software. I use Dia, for example. We've also used Inspirations, another good solution. But it lets us graphically define the starting point, where the landing page, for example, of an application, and then it branches off to what other surfaces, both like pages and other exposures, are coming off of that initial landing page.
Now, I think one of the things that is just positively amazing about that is we're able to go back in when we do training and sort of mitigation walkthroughs with the development staff, is that sort of visual analysis of the application. It's a lot of times, it's the first time the developers have ever seen that. And the sort of relationships between objects that they've, you know, sort of coded here and there and maybe haven't had a holistic view of how they interact, that response to that sort of data is just amazing. And in your experience, Phil, how many folks, you know, come back and that's a even after we've run our vulnerability assessment and pen testing, it seems like a large majority of folks want to come back and really talk about that mapping.
Yeah, both the design team, the development team, and even just you from the user level, most people don't understand how an application is structured. It doesn't necessarily register with the brain how things are going on under the hood or behind the scenes. So having that graphical layout lets you see from beginning to end how the data flows through the application, how it should behave, and it helps to identify issues from beginning to end.
Now, I know we also do this for the mobile applications that we test, where we have mobile devices and maybe they're interacting with some sort of cloud or web-based solution. Can you talk a little bit about the levels of complexity that you know, we get into when we start talking about distributed mobile apps.
Well, when you start to deal with the mobile platform, you know, there's, first of all, you have to take into account the fact that we can't necessarily secure the device. So that adds a whole other layer into the paradigm. You have to worry about what's going on outside of the corporate environment. But these mobile applications are essentially an extension of the existing web app that we have. So the testing is fairly similar in that you still need to go through every component of the application and identify areas where they could be put to use in an attack. So it's a very similar structure, but considering the fact that you're dealing now with that mobile device that's in somebody's pocket and not necessarily protected and on your on the corporate LAN, for example, you just have to take a little more caution and pay attention to things that could present more danger, like what is available for use or what is accessible to the user on the device itself.
Now, that's interesting because, you know, I'm going to push you a little bit on that. You, it seems like you guys are constantly tearing into these new sort of mobile technologies, and some of them are sort of walled-off gardens, and so you guys end up almost doing forensics on some of these phones and smartphones so that you can look and see what sort of data the application's leaving behind. That's a really complex type of application assessment, and can you talk a little bit about how hard it is to map some of those surfaces?
Well, difficulty is in the eye of the beholder. I don't see it so much as hard as a lot of fun to have the opportunity to understand how the application interacts with the device and then how it interacts with the web server or the assets on the other end of the connection. If, for example, I know you're a big iPhone and iPad user, it's been interesting in evaluating the iPhone applications because we've had the opportunity to look and see how the file system is affected, what files are changed during installation and during use. And the Apple tries to make that a little difficult or more difficult for users to be able to get into some of the file system files. So it just tends to present a challenge. How do we get around those roadblocks, if you will, and still keep the device safe and not, for example, jailbreak it to be able to access those files?
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting point because I know when you spoke at the ISSA summit here in town, you know, we really sort of talked a lot about how folks could do surface mapping. And if they have easy web applications that are fairly non-complex or internal applications, they can probably do a pretty decent job of that themselves. But when you start digging into some of these mobile devices and mobile applications and forensics, it's pretty time intensive and skills intensive. And is that when they should really go seeking somebody like MSI to give them some assistance?
Well, this is something we like to be out in the field and preach that you as the user or as the developer or as the owner of the app should be taking steps to check your level of vulnerability, check your vulnerability posture and security posture of the application before it's launched. But that isn't something that should be totally handled in-house. It's important to get an objective view of the application, and not just from a mobile standpoint, but from any application that you're going to launch to the public. It's important for the development team and for the application to go through the development cycle and, of course, be tested. But once you get to the end of that process, before it goes public, it needs to be viewed by somebody like our team who specializes in taking that time, not necessarily from just how time-consuming the process can be, but also to make sure that you've got somebody who's looking at these attack surfaces, who is aware of the various attacks and how to carry them out so that you're not overlooking something that a real attacker may not.
So I think that is interesting because, you know, one of the feedback that I get from our clients all the time here is that, you know, our knowledge of what attackers are doing because of our Honeypoint stuff and the HitMe that's out there gathering zero-day attack signatures every day, we bring a lot more to the table than folks, you know, who maybe are also security admins and tasked with, you know, reporting to management and those guys. We bring a lot more attack knowledge to that piece. But I think another critical piece of it, when it comes to why folks need to sort of get independent peace views of their environment, is that after working in an environment for a while, we start to make some assumptions. And, you know, we know how, for example, an ACH process works. We know how inside our sales and marketing mechanisms are built. So you start to take some of that knowledge for granted, and you get trapped in how the behavior models that are expected of users in that space. And so the objective outsider might have a different sort of view because we don't have those assumptions. And over the last 20 years, I've seen a number of penetration tests where that's paid off, that sort of unexpected behavior that was obvious to an outsider but hidden from an insider had a huge return. Have you seen some of that as well?
I have definitely seen it. I mean, like you say, there's a level of complacency. When you get comfortable in your environment, you tend to not only make those assumptions, but get used to the way things are. And without testing the organization or the environment outside of its normal use, you may overlook something that could be a significant issue, but just because of lack of exposure, it hasn't necessarily been uncovered. We see that quite frequently.
So, Phil, are you open for folks if they want to, you know, engage a little deeper and really hear some of your views on the hows and whys of doing surface mapping? Should they reach out to you via email or on Twitter, or pick up a phone and give you a call?
By all means. Email is probably the hardest way to reach me. I only check email when I absolutely have to, but I always answer the phone, and I'm on Twitter more than I work, actually, most of the time. So.
And they can reach you at 614-351-1237, extension?
202.
That's Phil Grimes. It's at GrapeApe on Twitter. And Phil, I want to thank you for joining me today on this audio blog post.
Thanks for the opportunity.
I've been Brent Houston. This has been Phil Grimes. We are from stateofsecurity.com, which is the blog for Microsolved. We are threat-centric security personified. We'll talk to you again another time. And until then, stay safe out there.